Good morning.
Morning.
It's time to get up, guys. Up and at 'em.
If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
Come on, guys.
Burning daylight.
Early worm gets the worm.
I like waking up when no one's around.
I seriously wish breakfast went all day.
What for breakfast?
Cam and James.
Yo, Cam, happy Friday.
Oh, I can't believe it's Friday already. But the worst thing is, I don't get to come in here tomorrow.
Oh, come on. We could do it with a few days off.
Probably. Maybe.
Well, coming up on the show today, it's a big one. We are doing our friend trip and we need your help. Where are we going to go?
We need to know because I want to start packing already.
We're underpacking.
Underpacking. Woolies is also making some changes to help save the environment, but it's going to cost you. Let's talk about that soon.
And also, we've got our What a Week. It's your week in review, catching you up on everything you missed news-wise. Cam and Danes.
This is the catch-up. No catch-up on
no
Next.
No catch-up allowed on Next.
We're looking for a destination for our friend trip. God, it's a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is a tongue twister, but it's going to be a great time. We want your suggestions. Give us a call, 9805-6667. We'll be talking about it after 7:30 headlines. But Cam, big news overnight. Bojo has finally come to a Brexit deal.
And I hope very much now, speaking of elected representatives, that my fellow MPs in Westminster do now come together to get Brexit done.
He hopes. That's what's happening.
He always sounds like he's telling a bedtime story, doesn't he?
And what's going to happen is there is going to be a vote in the House of Commons tomorrow, and he's hoping that people come together. But it's kind of like the, Northern Ireland is not going to be a part of the Brexit deal, but they still have to be part of the Brexit deal, like trade laws. So I reckon they're going to end up like the estranged cousin of Britain.
What are we going to have to talk about once Brexit's finalised?
Nothing in the UK. That's it. The UK's done.
The UK's not going to be mentioned on Australian radio at all.
Cam and Danes.
This is the catch up.
Snooze. News.
Everyone wake up.
I'm going to hear you with what's going on overnight because a lot has happened, right?
Okay.
First female moonwalk, we talked about it yesterday. It was due to go ahead yesterday.
But they didn't have the right clothes.
Yeah, it was due to happen in March, didn't happen, but it is due to go ahead today, which is super exciting, with Christina Koch and Jessica Meir, and they are going to venture outside the space station to change a battery.
What are we talking? AA, AAA?
Energizer bunny, for sure.
I'm sure they're dealing with some heavy-duty batteries up in space there.
Yeah, so that's going to happen on the space station. It is the 222nd spacewalk to happen. First female.
What's the battery for?
It's to on the outside of the ship.
Okay.
It's something to do with the ship. If they run out of battery, then, you know, they can't obviously make toast.
So it's not just like the toilet light or something.
No. Yeah, like an aeroplane. Next up is The Bachelorette. I had a bit of a confession. It was on last night and the night before. I do not have an update on it because my confession is that my housemate and I can't figure out how to make Channel 10 work on our new TV, so I haven't seen it.
You need to get a coat hanger and chuck it in the back of your TV.
Is that
the best reception. Yep.
Even with those new fandangled TVs that he's got?
Yeah. We were speaking about quick fixes the other day.
Yeah.
That's all you need, a coat hanger as an antenna in the back of the TV.
But to compensate, head to afters.radio. There is the best meme you will have seen since sliced bread up there. It involves one of the, characters on The Bachelorette and Shrek. It's pretty good.
Wait, Shrek?
One of the characters on The Bachelorette looks like the human version of Shrek.
Oh,
you know,
right,
when he evolves?
I'm glad you said the human version there, because if a big ogre walked into The Bachelor, I'd probably be tuning in.
Yeah.
That's how they can make their show refreshing, with new content. With an ogre
on
the show.
With Angie Kent it is. All right, number three.
Previously on Love Island Australia.
Catching you up on everything you missed on Love Island last night. Matt, one of the contestants, started to doubt his connection with Vanessa. He's known her for 2 days. Anyway, there were some tears last night. It was uneventful until the monk, Sophie Monk, walked in and dropped the bomb of a surprise dumping from the villa, and it had to be voted, one person had to be voted out of the villa by all the contestants, so they were really upset because they really didn't want to do it, and I'm so sorry, I think you're a great person, but you have to go.
Do you have spare tissue for me, Dan?
Okay, touche.
And a small violin, possibly?
Okay.
Cam and Dan's.
Danes, I see a lot of annoying things on Facebook. People inviting you to birthday parties, events that you're not going to go to.
But are you the one of the people that clicks attending and doesn't actually attend? Or like maybe?
I always chuck the maybe in there just so I...
Just the worst kind of person.
Just so they don't get disappointed if I don't show up. But if I show up, they're like, oh, yeah.
So you always set the bar low.
But a new trend that's coming in on Facebook, a lot of young Australians, they're not doing birthday parties or presents. Instead, they're choosing to use Facebook to host fundraisers.
I've seen this. Have you seen it?
To raise money for different charities. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that, like, as great as it is for the charities, I wouldn't go to your birthday party anyway, so why are you making me donate? Well, that's what I reckon.
It turns out that people are reporting that people who wouldn't usually come to their birthday parties are donating to charities that they're choosing.
So it's working.
Yeah, so people are...
That actually really surprises me, to be honest.
Yeah. People are more generous if they don't have to actually give to the person and they're giving it's sort of like a bit of a guilt trip, I suppose. But Facebook's also revealed that since they introduced the function, they've raised $1.5 billion for charity.
Far out. That's huge.
Including the Cure Cancer Australia. Since it got introduced, they've raised $400,000 from Facebook alone.
Far out.
Yeah, the Starlight Foundation estimates that by the end of this year, they'll have $300,000 from Facebook charities for birthdays.
$300,000? That's ridiculous, don't you think? I mean, the power of social media these days, you can see it, but that's insane.
Yeah, so when I first saw the function, I saw people posting it, I was thinking, is this just...
Is this a phase?
Is this trying to portray that you're a good Samaritan to people without actually having to do anything?
Oh, because it's like public.
Yeah, because you know people aren't going to come to your birthday party anyway. So if you just put up a charity, you don't have to do anything. You can just put up there. You don't have to collect the money and give it to the charity through Facebook. That money goes straight to the charity.
Well, to be honest, whether you're doing it to get your own kicks out of it or not, it's obviously working and it's a good thing.
Yeah, the result's good. A lot of money being raised for charities. And I don't know, if you're not going to come to my birthday party, why not try and suck some money out of you?
Hey, coming up, we're talking the hottest celeb couple out at the moment. They got tats together. Head to our Insta, afters.radio. We want to know your tattoo regrets. It's coming up.
Cam and Danes.
The catch-up.
On next.
We are talking tattoo regrets.
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro.
Hey, what is this one?
Oh, this... No regrets.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets? Like not even a single letter?
No way. Not me. You know what I'm saying?
Not me.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Danes?
A bit of a Weather Miller's quote, the regret tattoo. It's probably the most iconic bad tat.
Yeah, live life by that guy's motto. No regrets. No. Not even one letter.
Not even one letter. Well, one of the hottest couples at the moment in Hollywood have got tattoos together. We're talking Miley Cyrus and Cody Simpson. So they cemented their relationship. You know, there was Instagram videos of Miley, Cody visiting Miley, playing her songs on her hospital bed while she was unwell. But they've cemented their relationship. Cam, they get it. They got matching tats. They're not exactly the same, but they do have a similar theme. So Miley has a heart on the back of her arm that reads rock and roll heart. And it's got like a knife through it, like a dagger. And Cody got a skull and crossbones with a knife like running through the eyeball.
How cute.
Do you think? It's sickening.
Also get me the small violin. I want to cry about that. I thought about getting a matching tattoo with my girlfriend, but she's not covered in tats, but she's got a few.
Yeah.
She's got a moon on her wrist.
Did she like it?
She got it when she was drunk one night when she was 18.
Oh, yeah, good one.
And she also has... Did you ever watch Family Guy when you were growing up?
Not particularly, no.
Well, on Family Guy, there's the character called the Evil Monkey.
Okay.
And she got an evil monkey tattooed on her inner thigh.
What?
Yeah, and she regrets it every single day.
That's not a good one.
And I keep telling her I love it, but she doesn't believe me.
Well, we have got messages in on afters.radio on Instagram. Peter from Darlinghurst has messaged and said he got, oh, this is bad. He got a matching wedding ring tattoos with his ex-wife and he has so much regret. He said, I'm in the process of getting it lasered off.
Peter, live life by the motto, no regrets.
No regrets.
Belle has also messaged in on the Instagram page saying that she let herself get a mystery tattoo and now everyone calls her Basie because it's a wave on her ankle.
Do you think that's basic, or is that just in touch with, you know, the aura and your chakras?
No, basic.
Basic.
Bell.
Those are cool tats, man. Oh, for real. Thank you, bro.
That's what is too this one? Good. Well, no coming up.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets? Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I hear you, brother.
Cam and Danes.
The catch up.
The catch up.
The catch up.
Not catch up.
Not
catch up.
News.
Hello, this is Natal with the morning next news headlines. Cam, this is a story for you. Basically, you can buy iced coffee flavored with Australian iconic Bundaberg rum.
The good old what? Bundy rum. So if you're a bit tired in the morning, you can have a coffee to get you going and a little bit of a buzz with the Bundy as well.
But then yes. You have to...
Is there alcohol in it?
There's no alcohol.
Oh, right.
This only comes in a limited edition just for a short period of time. I think it's a trial of something.
Oh.
Well, that means you have to be careful of drop bears when you're having your morning coffee.
That's true. If you're buying it in a drop bear region, is it only limited to drop bear regions?
No, when you drink Bundaberg rum, don't you have to be mindful of drop bears?
Well, you need to say
what
that.
What are drop bears?
You need to say that with some confidence, Danes.
Okay.
Drop bears
are like, they did a Bundaberg rum where like a polar bear would fall out of a tree when you were drinking Bundaberg rum.
Yeah.
And there's like a myth in the Rockhampton sort of region and Bundaberg region that there are drop bears that actually exist and people tell tourists that they exist.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The polar bears fall out of the tree.
I remember when I was at uni, I had a shirt with a polar bear and it said Bundaberg.
Bundaberg, yeah. You would have been the man.
And one of my friends was like, oh, that shirt looks good on you because she comes from Bundaberg. And she was like, okay. And we became good friends.
Sure, this wasn't hitting on you. That shirt looks good on you. Cam and Danes.
The catch-up.
On next.
Woolworths has made headlines, I guess, this morning.
Yeah, they're doing some good stuff.
Yeah, they're increasing the costs of shopping to save the environment. And the way they're doing this is introducing paper bags as opposed to the reusable plastic bags.
Okay.
So what this means is that the cost of buying a bag at Woolies is now going to increase from 15 cents to 20 cents. So now you can have the recyclable paper bags so that you don't feel like a piece of garbage when you throw out the reusable plastic bags.
Yeah.
Because they're hopeless anyway.
I like this idea because I like using paper bags to put my lunch in to come to work anyway.
Yeah. And so it's being trialed at 21 stores across the country. 10 of those are in Sydney, actually, including Coogee, Bondi, Marrickville and Paddington.
Okay.
Yeah. Places that you would be shopping?
Yes. I would be shopping. Yeah. Paddington's my area.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on increasing the cost of the bag 5 cents to save the environment?
To be honest, it's coming in at the right time, you know, with all these climate protests and everything, because I'm willing to spend a little bit more to be able to help the environment. And that goes for like anything to do with, you know, getting rid of fast fashion, buying quality clothing, as opposed to, you know, getting stuff that you just chuck out and breaks. And
when you think about the cost per person of buying a paper bag, say it increased by 5 cents a year.
Yeah.
5 cents per bag.
Yeah.
Over the course of a year, say you buy 2 paper bags a week.
Yep.
That's 10 cents extra a week.
Yeah.
There's 52 weeks in a year, $5.20.
That's it.
Extra a year.
That's true. When you put it in perspective like that,
yeah.
That's very true.
So an extra $5.20 a year and now you've got recyclable bags. And the good thing is they're reusable as well.
Yeah.
So if you don't throw them out, if you remember to take them to the shops, you could only...
I also wonder if they're going to be like those, you know, in the American movies, how like they are holding one big paper sack under each arm.
Yeah, no, the Americans have got it wrong. We need handles. We need paper handles on the paper bags.
Oh, maybe they will have handles. That makes sense. Because you know when like the ring of the water condensation coming off the milk will like make the bag soggy and then like your milk falls out. But then that's how every rom-com starts and that's how you meet your future partner. So
exactly.
You know, this could be a big thing.
Yeah, and I think what's good about this as well is with the plastic reusable bags that Woolies introduced, they set the trend across the market. So everyone sort of followed Woolies' step because Coles, they were like, well, if we don't keep up, that's another reason for people to shop at Woolies. So now I reckon... Now I reckon what we're going to see is Coles introducing paper bags as well.
So good. Competitor marketplace.
You heard it here first.
Yep, absolutely. We want your calls though, 9805-667. We are going on a friend trip, a friendship road trip, and we need a destination. We want you to call. Where should we go and why?
Cam and Danes.
Danes, we are going on a friend trip.
What do you get when you combine friendship and a road trip? Friend trip.
Let's be friends.
Yes, we are. Thanks again to producer Chris for coming up with a name about our road trip. Friend
Couldn't
trip.
Be better.
We've sorted out the nuts and bolts. We decided we're going on a road trip. I'm driving. Dana's going to be feeding me while we're driving along.
Yeah, Dane's. Not kinky is not kinky at all. It is just, you need sustenance. I'll be there with the twisties.
Just Pringles in the mouth. But what we need to find out now is where we're actually going on the road trip. Because we can't just get in a car and drive, right?
No. Yesterday we started, we're going north.
Yes. So we asked for your calls for suggestions of where we should go up north. Mike from Punchbowl, where do you think we should go?
Yeah, I reckon you guys should come up to the Newcastle Comic Con. It's going to be stalls. There's going to be lots of seminars. It's going to be like a big nerd fest.
Are you going to dress up?
Yeah.
Do you have some spare costumes?
Well, I've got this Pikachu onesie. I was thinking of whipping out. So.
Mike, is Joker going to be there this year?
I'm assuming there's going to be like lots of Jokers, and probably lots of Harley Quinns as well. There's always like a million Harley Quinns.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like Dana's bag. I'm not convinced yet.
Me nerding out at Comic Con. Get out. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Yeah, no worries, guys. All right. Well, yeah, definitely come up. Hopefully, I'll see you guys there.
Sweet. I reckon that can go on the list, Cam.
Comic Con. Let's put it on the list. It's our first suggestion. We can't rule it out.
No, that's true.
Yes.
We can nerd out.
You can nerd out. I will find the nearest watering hole.
Oh, get out. Come on. All right, we've also got Lee on the line. Lee, where should we go on our friend trip and why?
Do you know what? One of the best things you could do this year, without a doubt, is head down to Port Macquarie for the Port Macquarie Beer and Cider Festival on the 19th of November.
Why is that? What goes on there?
Oh, it's a really, really good, chilled, laid-back festival. We've got some awesome brewers coming down. We've got some amazing musicians getting involved. Loads of family-friendly stuff. You can get involved in the keg toss and win some money. It's a good, awesome local festival to get involved in.
Lee, you sound like you're an organiser of this event. Am I right?
Yeah. I might just be the organiser, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't know. I'm pretty interested, Danes. What do you think?
Yeah, I reckon it can go in the bag and we can choose which one at the end. Thanks for the call, Lee.
No worries. You're welcome. See you there.
Well, there's some solid options, Cam.
He sounds confident that he's going to get us there. See you there, he reckons.
Yeah, true. Well, we'll chuck it up on our Instagram. You can decide. Afters.radio, AFTRS radio. On our story, we'll put a poll up there. We've got two options. Where are we going to get to know each other, Cam?
Cam and Danes.
Cam, it's Friday feels. I'm feeling it today.
Oh, feeling so good. I'm feeling a sense of highness right now.
Okay, I just have to give some context. We're sitting in this studio. There was a ladder sitting in the studio for some reason, and Cam's decided to have a bit of a power play, and he's like 4 feet above me at this point with a mic. He's just towering over me.
Dana has to look up to me to
ask. Stop!
She's seeking validation. It's like, is what I'm talking about worthy for you, Cam?
Lucky I can turn your mic down.
I say yes.
Lucky I've got control of the mics. Cam and Danes.
The catch up.
I got money. You're next.
Ooh.
Cam and Danes. I got money. Waking you up for a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Very fitting song for our next talking point, Danes. A report's come out saying that there are over 600,000 millennial millionaires in the US of A.
600,000?
Over 600,000.
That is obscene.
Proving the point that millennials, not all millennials, are lazy and worthless.
Exactly.
Because we're out there working hard.
Well, the people in the US are, that's for sure.
Yes, 93% of these millennial millionaires have a net wealth between approximately $1 million and $2.5 million.
How do you get to that point, at this point in your life?
Well, I'm guessing it's probably had a lot to do with inheritance.
You reckon?
Yeah, possibly, which actually just proves my point that they're hardworking and...
To be fair, you need an income like that because with healthcare over there, not good.
It probably is that they're either inheriting this money or investing in technology because 60% of them are either living in California in the Silicon Valley, where Apple's headquarters are there, or in New York. Yeah, so New York's the other hub for the millennial millionaires.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you, I mean, if that's our common denominator, then you have to head to obviously California or New York to become a millennial millionaire over there.
Yes, and you need rich parents as well.
Okay.
Yes. And also, I'm just reading now, technology plays a significant part in the wealth and the top zip code being the Silicon Valley. So that's where it's all coming from, the big tech businesses like Apple and Microsoft. But still, we've got hope.
Yes, we do. Millennials, we're making it.
Yes.
It wasn't Panel for you. This is all of us. But coming up next, we're playing Dictionary Editions, where you have to pick a word that's recently been added to the dictionary. We want you to call 9805-6667. You could win yourself a week's worth of meals at Never Ending Noodles.
Cam and Dane's.
And Cam, it's a good day. It is Friday. We're sinking into it. We've only got an hour left of the show.
Show us your Friday fingers, Danes.
Friday fingers. But news I've got for you, another Trump story. Get ready for it. Trump has used a word so much, the term fake news, that it's no surprise that it's been added to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah.
So we have got a game for you.
Now it's time for our wrap up. Let's give it everything we've got. Ready? Begin.
Artificial amateurs aren't it all amazing?
The alphabet aerobic.
Yes. Alrighty, so we have got Alicia on the line from Surrey Hills. She's going to be competing against you because you are the quiz master this week.
Oh, yeah.
I've got her on the line. Hey, Alicia, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, really good. How are you feeling about conversing off against Cam, the quiz master?
Yeah, I'm feeling really confident. I mean, ooh. I know it's a Friday, Cam, but I'm going to annihilate you, so maybe
okay.
You should start preparing now.
I'll try not to ruin your day, Alicia. if you're feeling confident now, I'll try not to make it worse from here on out.
Alrighty, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read three words out and their meanings, and you have to tell me, Alicia, your question is first, which one is the one that's just been added? The other two already exist in the dictionary, all right?
Oh, they already, okay.
Yeah. So, question one. Alrighty, here we go. I've got three words. The words are slam dunk, age last, and Mel drop. Slam dunk is to do with basketball. Age last is a person who never laughs. And Mel drop is a drop of mucus on the nose.
And the middle one is age last.
Age last.
And what does that mean again?
That means a person who never laughs.
So Dana.
Oh, God. Not at your jokes, Cam. What have you got, Alicia? We've got slam dunk, age last, or Mel drop. Which one has just been added to the English dictionary?
I'm going to go Mel drop.
Unfortunately,
it was age
not.
Last, wasn't it? It was age last. I should have stuck with my dad.
It wasn't even age last. It was slam dunk. That wasn't in the dictionary before now.
You're joking.
Nope.
LeBron would be mortified.
Okay. Right. Okay. So next one for me, Danes. If I get this one right, I'm one ahead of Alicia.
You are victorious.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If you get it wrong, Alicia gets another shot.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, all right. So, question number two is for Cam. We have got the three words are bibble, lollygag, and promposal. So, bibble is to drink often or drink and eat noisily. Lollygag is to be idle or lazy or to waste time. And promposal is to the invitation to be someone's date at the school prom.
Okay, so the first...
That's hard, Kim.
Yeah.
Very hard.
The first two you said sounded like British words made up for those things. So you said bibble was to eat noisily or drink noisily?
Yeah, just like consume
that
noisily.
That sounds like something that a British person made up for that word.
Bibble.
And the second
Don't
word...
Don't bibble, Cam.
And the second word, lollygag, means what?
A lollygag means to be idle or lazy or to waste time.
That also sounds like a British word made up for that concept. And promposal, I'm assuming that's a word that is described for asking someone to go to the prom.
Yeah, that is.
And
like on Facebook or like in person.
So similar to fake news, I reckon the Americans have conned that, owned that word so much that it's been put into the dictionary. Alicia, if you had to guess, what word would you guess?
I think you'll, I hate to admit this, but I think your logic is right, I think. And a lot of the words are, like in past years, they're like abbreviations for dumb Americanizations and stuff. So I think you're right.
Mm. Good logic.
Okay, so I'm going to lock in Promposal.
All right.
That is correct.
Oh. Alicia.
You got me.
Alicia kind of helped you out there. Come on though, Cam.
Alicia, I said I'd try not to ruin your day and I'm very, very sorry.
Alicia, I'm going to give you the third question anyway because it's really interesting. So, right. You know what? If you get this one, you can have the... You could win the week's worth of noodles because, you know, Cam can get out here. All right. Question three. Word one, you have to guess which one is just been added. The other two have been added to the English dictionary already. We've got number one, dragoman. We've got two, fripple. And three, cockatoona. Cockatoo, sorry. Dragoman is an interpreter or a professional guide for travellers. Fripple is a mouthpiece of a recorder or like a wind instrument. And cockatoo is a farmer working on a small scale farm.
Feel the pressure of that song.
Yeah.
Can I have them again? Help
me
out here. I helped you out. What do you think?
Well, I thought they all sounded like they'd been added to the dictionary, but I'm just going to go cockatoo. Just because I'm feeling good, feeling lucky.
All right. Can I have them again? And I'll chuck in my...
Dragoman, fipple, and cockatoo.
I'm going to go the middle one because I feel like maybe that should have already been there, but it wasn't, like slam dunk.
The mouthpiece. All right.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Oh, wait, was I right?
And was Cam right?
It was close to us.
I've had enough. You need it, Cam. This is rigged. I'm pretty sure you made these questions and I'm pretty sure you're answering
them. I haven't shown him, I promise. But you know what? We're going to chuck it your way anyway because you did an amazing job, Alicia. Thanks for calling. You win a week's worth of meals at Never Ending Noodles. Stay on the line. We'll get your details.
Thanks.
And Alicia, if you want to get your confidence knocked down again, call back next Friday.
Cam and Danes.
News.
Hello, I am Natal Jimmo with your next news headlines. A Sydney tradie has left his job minutes after finding out that he won $50 million.
$50 million.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Would you quit your job, Natal, if you won the lotto like that?
I'll have to prioritize things, you know, because I think, you know, having that much money in your bank account, I think it's going to explode your brain. It's going to explode your brain. And I think there will be a lot of ideas that will be running, like you want to do A, B, C, D, up to Z. So, you know, I think, you know, a better planning needs to come in place.
Yeah, well, we'd still need you around here to read the news, Natal.
So don't you dare quit.
I love reading the news.
I love how your first thought is like, all right, logically, how am I going to process this? There's too much going on in my brain.
Cam and Danes.
Hey, we in the studio, we have got Imogen McCluskey and B. Barboskirla. They are co-writers of a film called Suburban Wildlife that explores the themes of what the hell am I doing with my life? You know that feeling before or after uni, Cam?
Oh, it's a terrible feeling. We've all had it. I still have it now.
Here's a little clip from the film.
So, how long will you be gone for?
These last 2 years. But who knows, it could be shit.
When are you going to go somewhere?
Can't go anywhere my parents haven't already been.
I think I'm just waiting for something to know what to do.
B, Imogen, welcome to the studio. You know that feeling of, I don't know what to do. How did you come up with the themes for this piece?
Exactly that.
Exactly that.
What are we doing with our lives? I think for both of us, we entered film school, we wanted to make a feature and we were like, okay, what kind of themes are we already exploring in our work? What do we want to do? And I think that feeling of like the in-between space that you enter in friendships and then also in life was something we really wanted to touch on, and that sort of nostalgia of looking back and looking forward at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, so in the film, what sort of challenges are the characters facing? Is it just the general feeling or are there specific obstacles that you have them overcome?
So in the film, Louise, who's the kind of mum of the group and sort of keeps them all together, organises them, is always like driving them around.
Yeah, we've all got the mum of the group.
Yeah, literally like me in Brisbane. She is off to London. So there's kind of been, they're kind of pulled out of their sort of state of not doing very much like early, and they're like, oh God, like this isn't going to last forever. And that's, there's kind of 1 week between graduation and her leaving, and she wants them to have like one final time together, and it's just hard because it doesn't really go as planned, all that sort of stuff. And then individually they're all going through their own things. So Nina, who's the lead of the film, she is wrestling with her sexuality and sort of her repressed sort of love for Louise that she never voices. And then the other two are also dealing with plans that don't come together and ideas of moving overseas that don't come to fruition, all that sort of stuff. But it's all about a love of each other and suburbia and saying goodbye to their sort of childhood, essentially.
Sure. That brings a lot back for me, like not knowing what I'm doing, traveling overseas. Yeah. Do I buy the ticket?
Yeah, especially literally. one that you mentioned that I'm struggling with now is having a get together with old friends before you start moving off into your different things. It's so hard with like your work and just the thought of trying to figure out what you're doing. You get messages from old friends and it's so hard to just organize a catch up.
Yeah. And find the time for it. Yeah. Really, because it's like the older you get and the further away you get from high school and stuff, you just busy up your lives. Yeah. And that's like the friend group in the film are very much people who have been, you know, friends since like year seven. Mm. They just have fallen into this complete pattern of relying on each other and like especially relying on Louise. So her leaving is really kind of, I don't know, fire under the ass for them to get this shit together.
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
But three of the four main characters are female. I'm all for this. Was this a conscious choice that you made?
I think definitely. I came to Imogen with an original kind of like short film idea, and Imogen had like lots of ideas of themes that we wanted to address when making this feature. And one of the main things that like first feedback that Imogen gave, she was like, let's make them old women. And we were like, heck yeah, like I'm why not it. Yeah, representation. Let's just do it. And yeah, it just kind of reflected a bit more our experience, and we got to play with a bit more perspectives and things that were true to us.
Because I think as well the coming of age like genre has traditionally been like dudes.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, like, you know, what is it, Catcher in the Rye and all that sort of stuff. And like Stand By Me and blah blah blah. And recently I think we've seen like a wave of female focused films like Lady Bird and Book Smart and all that sort of stuff.
Which is the ones really we need to get around at the box office to show the world that, you know, it works.
Yeah, totally. So I think we would definitely like in that vein of like wanting to show something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you guys have been through this experience of uncertainty, I guess you would call it, and you've really delved into it with the film. Did you have any advice at all for someone who might be going through that right now?
Well, look, so I like graduated high school and I dropped out of 4 degrees before I went to afters.
So you're the master of uncertainty.
Yeah, so I'm like, come to me with your questions. No, I like went overseas for a bit and la la la. And I'm all for like, don't feel the need to go straight into uni. I'm such a big advocate for that.
Mm.
Don't feel the need to go do some silly like business degree that you don't know, care about, amass debt and then get out the other side and be like, what? Because I think that's kind of what a lot of my friends in Brisbane sort of did. And that's what's inspired our film. Cause like you've just had this like delayed adolescence and then you're like, what the hell am I doing? So I think find what you're passionate about and just take your time. Like life's not a race. So.
Sure.
And I also think that like, on top of that as well, like don't be afraid to try things out. Like totally. I think the characters in the film, like for example Alice, she doesn't want to travel because her parents have been everywhere, but
she just wants
to be loved. So it's like, you know, get out of your comfort zone as well, and
it's,
you know,
so
try
relatable
new things.
Yeah, completely relatable. We're speaking to Imogen McCluskey and B Barbo-Skirla. They are the co-creators of a film called Suburban Wildlife. Guys, thanks for joining us. Where can we go to see the film and find out more info?
Well, we have the classic Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, but we have some very fun announcements coming in later this month in November. So stay tuned. And our handles are what?
At Suburban Wildlife Film for Instagram and Facebook, and then Sub Wild Film for Twitter.
Cam and Danes.
The catch up.
The catch up.
The catch up.
Not catch up.
Not
catch up.
We had about nearly time to get out of here, but it's been a big week in news, and we're going to be testing whether you know what's up.
Welcome to What a Week, a quiz on this week's hottest events with your host, producer Chris.
All right, settle down. Please stop clapping. This isn't a concert. This is not a concert.
All right, Chris.
Okay.
It's been a big week, and you've got some questions for Dana and I.
It has been. See
if we know, if we've been paying attention to what we've
been
talking
about.
If what
we've said has kind of sunk in. So first of all, earlier this week, we interviewed comedian Ivan Aristegueta.
Yep.
Where did he move to Australia from?
Oh, Dana.
All right.
I can't remember that
Venezuela,
one.
Because he speaks Spanish.
Yes, Dana, that is correct.
Yes. I was not good at all the music stuff.
Dana's off to a flyer with this one.
But give me topicals. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, question two.
Yep.
What was the suggestion given to capital cities across Australia to ease traffic in their CBDs?
Cam. Introduce tolls.
Yep, that's correct.
Yes.
Introducing a congestion charge, so we will accept tolls.
Yes. Okay. I remember Natal talking about that one, and I said, the city's bad enough as it is. I don't want to have to pay to go in there.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the tolls are actually going to be equal to public transport costs. So,
there you go.
It's not so bad. And third question, what was the name of the real estate agent on the block who thinks he can build things better than carpenter
Dana,
Scott
Dana.
Cam? Dana.
Dana, Dana.
All right.
It is Jesse.
Yes! That is incredible.
I'm cringing at that little squeal you did at the end of saying, Jesse.
He's so dreamy.
No. I'm just excited because I never win quizzes this week. So this is my jam.
Well, you're doing well so far.
I've been paying attention to the news. This is good.
You have been. All right. Name the three celebrities from You Don't Know Me, Celebrity Edition.
Cam.
Sorry, you haven't even given an answer.
I'm firing.
I'm not a celebrity. We had Shannon Knoll was one.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The first one was, I'm having a blank. Who was it?
Oh, baby, can't you see?
No, that was the lyric game.
We
had Shannon Knoll from the Central West. We had, goodness.
What's the question? Say it again for me, Chris.
Okay. Name the three celebrities from You Don't Know Me, Celebrity Edition.
Okay, so we played a game at the start of the week where we had to guess the...
Guess three celebrity
characters.
Oh,
you gave us like the Who Am I.
I did. Correct.
Rebel
Wilson was the first one.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Shannon Knoll was the second.
And the third?
Can you give me a hint, Chris?
Look, you're doing something that's very closely related
to this Carl Sandlin
right now.
Oh,
Carl
Sandlin.
Come on.
Oh, well done, Cam.
All right, the tiebreaker.
Okay, this is definitely the tiebreaker. Okay. Now, question five.
Oh, God, I'm nervous.
What type of whales ate a baby humpback whale
earlier this week?
I think that was Cam first.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That was a big bunch of orcas.
No.
It was correct. I also would have accepted killer whale.
No, I thought he was going to say killer whale and I was going to say it's incorrect. Yeah, I got to say orca, but it hasn't gone right for me today.
It's either or, but Dana, well done on scoring those 2 points.
And
annoyed.
Props for trying, Danes. You keep coming back.
Stop being so patronising. Get out. Cam and Danes.
The catch up.
Time for us to get out of here.
Time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye, my friend.
But it's okay. We'll be back.
We'll be back Monday from 7. Tune in.
Catch you then.
See you later.
Have
bye.
A good weekend. See you, Sydney.
Hey, it's producer Chris here. For more Cam and Danes, head to next.aftrs.edu.au, next.afters on Facebook, and Afters Radio on the gram.